Esau and Lara stole my whole sermon, so I don't need to say a lot, but I'm on a journey with God, and I believe that God is taking us as a congregation on that journey. Since I've come to the UK, and this year I'm not a guest, so I realize that when you're not a guest, you do more things at the camp as well. You don't just sit around and do nothing. yeah, I know it's a blessing. But it's great to be here in the UK and just to observe, just to see what God is busy doing. And I remember when we came here the 1st of July, the first thing that God, just dropped in my spirit, even before we came, was make sure to focus on the people that's in your hand. And allow their cups to run over. And people of the world will see the testimony of the saints of God. And I want to share a little bit on it today. I want to believe that, we're going to flow with all the speakers this weekend in the same direction. We're going to talk about Europe. We're going to talk about lots of things. I want to believe that God is taking us into this journey for a reason. You know, we must get to our healing first before we can bring healing to others. And it's a beautiful time, but because when you come to the place where David was in Psalm 23, let's quickly read it again. You've just sung it, but let's just quickly read it. The Lord is my shepherd. This is David writing this psalm, and we all know that David knew what it means to be a shepherd. Okay, David himself was a shepherd boy, and he took it very serious, protecting the sheep. I shall not want. What is it that David was not short of? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want to bring context to this one, because I think we think that David, at this stage of his life, was sitting in the palace eating some nice caviar and nice fruit, and lying on a couch, or what was it on those days, cushions or whatever, and they were serving him, and David had this moment when, you know, God just pitched in the place and he was busy speaking to him. The reality is that Psalm 23 was written while David was out of office. When David was out of his castle, out of his kingdom, in a place of the wilderness where he was running around from away from Absalom. A time when David was sitting down and reflecting on what God was busy doing in his life. A time when he was not just running away, but also making some sums about where he was at this age, at a place where he had a beautiful rule in Israel, and now he was deserted by the same people that always believed that he was the best king ever and would be in the future. And yet in all of this, David was sitting in the wilderness with a few faithful men, and he was writing Psalm 23, and he was saying, my cup is running over. He was saying, God, I know that You are my refuge. You are the one that is serious about my life, the one that would come and meet me at my place of difficulty. Now, three things that I want to mention. The first one is, when we get to the place where David was, He restores our soul. He restores my soul and leads me to the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I've got news for you this morning. When we get to restoration, we start to show the glory of God. When we start to get to our healing, we are ready to reflect the glory of God to the nations. And this is where David was at, a place where he could say that God restored his soul to the place where he could actually be a reflection to the glory of God to people around him. And so I want to say to you, if you and I don't get to the place where David was, where we could be honest with ourselves about where we are at in this life with God, the person, Jesus Christ. And we had a few discussions the past few weeks just about Jesus, the person. The fact that you and I want to adapt our lives according to certain disciplines and according to the church structure and according to the discipleship programs that we have in church, and we want to do it according to even the Bible studies that we do, and yet at the end we realize that it's so empty if it does not include the person Jesus. And so I had a discussion with a few of the young men in our church the past few weeks, and I said, listen, stop talking about getting into the presence of God by disciplining yourself. I'm going to get up earlier in the morning. I'm going to spend an hour in the day with God. We all have those intentions, is it not so? We start to cultivate a discipline because we want to get this thing right. Out of our own efforts, we're going to start to do awesome things for God, and we're going to get into the presence of God by what we can do. Is it not so? Our response always to moving into the presence of God is a place where you and I want to do something to get there. And yes, you know, it's beautiful when we start to push through, get into the presence of God and allow ourselves to actually not stop until we hear God and we experience God. But you know that that hour of spending time with God will naturally come when you've spent time with the person Jesus Christ. You would want to spend that hour in the beginning of the day or whenever throughout the day, because you cannot live without Him. There's a big difference. There's a place where you find Jesus as the lover of your soul, and that transforms you to the extent that you prioritize everything around Jesus. And I want to say to you, I'm madly in love with Jesus. There's a lot that God is working in my life, but I know that one thing is true. He will transform my heart, my being, to a place where I can actually follow the King of all kings. And so when David says he's restored, he talks about a person, Jesus Christ, God the Father, that he can spend time with and that can bring restoration to his life. And that self-awareness for you and I is a place where we recognize where we are at with the Lord. And I want to say to you this morning, as soon as you start or stop blaming others for what's happening in your life, you will come to that place of self-awareness so that you can have a conversation with Jesus Christ Himself. Because the sad reality, thanks David, David is warning me, 10 minutes. The sad reality is, you know, when we don't spend enough time with God, when we're not close enough, if He's not the priority of our lives, we start to think about reasons beyond ourselves that hinders us to come into His presence. And as soon as you and I come to the self-awareness of our mistake, our fault, where David says, God, I want to be in your presence. I want to be transformed by you. I want to believe, as we prayed for this weekend, you know, God revealed to us the scripture, and I love it. John 5 verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain time into a pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in it first, after stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease they had. I want to believe that God would this weekend allow you to step into the water and receive your healing. And I want to say to you, I cannot bring healing to you. The team, as anointed as they are, and as amazing as they are, the worship team, the organizing team, they cannot bring healing to your soul. There's a time that you need to spend with Jesus in His presence as a person where He starts to transform your life. Verse 5, the second point, for you are with me. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David talking about the difficulty of being outside of the home. You know that the biggest devastation for David was not being out of the palace. It was being away from the house of God. He wanted to restore God's house. That was his heart's desire. I was so convicted the past few weeks, and I said it to my wife. We were busy, you know, beautifying our home, and my wife is excellent with it. She's amazing. And as we did it, I felt so convicted about the fact that, you know, just what David said, God, how can I build a house for myself if your house needs restoration? And, you know, I would hope that is all of our priority, to see God's house being restored, to come into the presence of God, to be allowed to spend time with Him. Listen to Joshua 1, verse 5 to 9. I'm running through lots that I wanted to say, but this morning I believe it's of God. He's going to lead us through the rest of the weekend. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, and you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your path or your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want to end off with him before I share the next point. Maybe I should just share the last point as well. But before I do that, Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. This sounds like very selfish and anointed wise virgins. But the wise answered, saying, since there was not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour. Now I want to just say to you this morning, you know, the beauty of it is that the wise virgins could not give their oil to the others, because oil is something that you receive from the master. And I want to emphasize this morning, we depend too much on one another in receiving our healing. We depend too much on human efforts, and the church must perform, and the church must do amazing things, and the church must do this, and the church. And I want to say to you this morning, there's no ways that any church would withstand the times that we are going in these last days if we don't find ourselves in the midst of having oil in our lamps. Because the only difference between the two sets of virgins was the fact that they had oil, and they had more than enough. And I want to say to you this morning, you only need more oil if the oil is burning. If the flame died, you don't need any oil. There's only a contention for oil because the lamps are burning. And I want to say to you, even the foolish had flames burning. Also, the foolish was very excited about the bridegroom coming. And yet they missed it because they did not spend time with the one who could provide the oil. And the sad reality of the times that we are living in is that the tests are busy breaking people. Can I just say to you, the testing times that we are going in, testing does not, and I say it often, but I'm saying it this morning again, testing does not make you grow. It only exposes your character. The choice to change makes you grow. Which means that where we are at as a body of Christ at this moment is exactly where David was in the wilderness, sitting there and saying, God, everything looks like, you know, we've missed you. My whole life is now before me, and I must be honest, were you with me or not? And then David says, no. In the presence of my enemies, I can declare that my King has provided. My King is with me. My King is not just restoring my soul. He's busy making this new season a season where my cup runs over. The cup is the place of provision for you and I, and that's my third point. And I want to just say to you, some of us are waiting for the bridegroom, and you know, it was strange for me just to read that scripture again and to recognize that it says that they waited a long time to the point of frustration. And in that frustration, they became drowsy. They fell asleep. It's so easy to fall asleep in the times that we are living in and miss the King of all kings. My cup runs over. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. When you go through calamity, if you go through difficulty, if you go through a time of despair, like David, and you only have enemies if things are not going well, is it not so? Because if you only have friends, life is hoo-ah. But in the midst of the times where David must admit, God, I only see enemies at this stage, but in the midst of my enemies, I must recognize my cup runs over, because this is the best place that I can be at. Yeah. This is the place where I can draw from the wells of overflowing, to the extent where my enemies must recognize that you are favoring me. And this is what David is saying. That in the midst of all of this, God, I don't worry whatever anyone thinks about me or whatever my circumstances dictates to me. I know that in the midst of my circumstances, I've got a cup. That cup is running over, and everyone will have to recognize that. I'm sitting at the feast table, and God, I want to commune with you. I want to ask the worship team to quickly come to the front. We're not going to have a lot of ministry time this morning, because we need to take a break as well. That's important, David. Thanks, David, for facilitating this weekend. You are such an amazing person. I want us to sing that song of the Lord is my shepherd again. And you know, I would want to believe this morning that you would just connect with Jesus. I want to believe that this weekend you came to jump into the water so that you can receive your healing. That your desire would not be to hear from any of the preachers here, including myself differently, but you came to spend time with the one who matters most. Let's stand quickly. I'm going to pray for us, and if you guys can sing the song for us then. Did Laura disappear?
She's helping with the team.
Okay. Will you guys be fine? Am I deep ending you now? Okay. You'll survive. Let's just pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and our cup is really running over. And Father, some of us even sit here this morning, and Father, we've got empty cups. And that's also fine. I pray that you will bring us to the place of self-awareness, where we will recognize our emptiness before you. That, Father God, nothing that this world brings against us, Father God, will define us. Father, we are not going to blame shift, and we're not going to give everyone around us the blame for things not happening in our lives. This morning we stand before you and we recognize that we need you to come and fill the cup. Our desire is not to be filled by anyone in this room. We know that, Father, there's wisdom, that there was wise virgins as well, those who could give counsel, go and buy. But that is as far as we can bring one another. Father, we recognize that you are the one who provides the oil. And there is a place where we can find that oil. A place where we connect with you. In the name of Jesus. Let's see.
It's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my hair with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delight. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness restores me home. His power. I will not fear the evil one, for You are with me and Your rod and staff of comfort I need to know.
And though I walk,
the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for You are with me and Your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know.
And I'll walk,
the darkest path. I will not fear the evil one. Your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know.
And I will trust in You.
In You alone,
I will trust.
Will trust in You alone. For Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home,
and I will trust.
And I will trust.
God, we choose to walk the darkest paths. We choose to walk where there's evil because we know we walk to meet our bridegroom. We choose to put on our feet the gospel of peace. We choose to step into the shoes vacated by others. And we choose to walk to meet our bridegroom. And in that choice, we're changed. God, I thank You that You've already started changing us this weekend, and that You will not stop. God, I thank You this weekend You're going to deepen many of us. And I thank You, God, that not only will we float, not sink, but we will swim. God, we receive from You and we are grateful. We acknowledge You as the minister through Hercules now, and through each person who takes this microphone or takes a seat or a stand at the front, we receive from You. You are the first receiver. You are the giver. And God, we will not refuse that which You have for us.
I just feel we have to sing this part again, and just in this time singing it again, just declare that God will, His goodness will lead us, and His endless mercies will follow us. I just feel that we have to sing it again, but this time with lots of faith, that God will, He will give us that. So just, can we just sing that again?
And I will trust in You alone. And I will trust in You alone. For Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me. And I will trust in You alone. And I will trust in You alone. For Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me. I will trust in You, will trust in You alone. And I will trust in You alone. For Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me.
God, where You lead, we will follow.
Yes.
And we know You're leading us home. In Jesus' name, amen.